Here we are then. It's a Tuesday and we have a special guest in the studio. And the trouble is with giving people nicknames, I then forget that you have a real identity and a real name.
I have a real name, yeah. It doesn't say like on my birth certificate.
That's the trouble. I had a guy called Tim who used to do a show called Timmy Time at the weekends. And he went away, came back a couple of weeks ago, turned up on the show as a special guest, and I just introduced him as Timmy Time and thought...
That's not his name.
I know his name's Tim, but I've no idea what his surname was. And it turned out, yes, it was Tim Morris. And now I'm thinking, well, Bert's in. And this is my fault for not thinking this through. And as you get older, you do forget. And you think, right, okay, Bert. It's not Bert's real name.
It's not, no.
It will come to me in a minute. It's Lauren.
It is,
yeah. It's Lauren. Well, welcome back, Lauren.
Thanks.
Bert. We've picked a subject that kind of, I don't know, it sort of, it rolls on and there's a few other things connected to it. David Moyes is in the news. Do you want to take up the story here?
I can do, yeah. David Moyes was asked by a female journalist if... I can't remember what the question was. It was, is the club in a little bit of trouble at the moment? He said, no, it's all fine. And then interview ended, end of conversation, off air, someone caught on video, him saying to her, you got a little bit naughty towards the end there, you might get a slap even if you are a woman. And they both joked and they laughed around, and then it was just blown up, and now apparently David Moyes is a big old sexist.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Snowboard quite a bit.
It has.
Yeah.
But the question I would ask, and just so I've got my notebook out here. I've only written four things down, but I've got I look like a copper now with asking questions. And just one more thing. The one question that I would ask is, how come it took a whole week for this to escalate and why?
I guess just not enough substance to it. If you just released that'd be it, that'd be dead. But now they've waited, so celebrities are tweeting about it. Campaigners are getting involved, and the FA have now had to take it. They're doing a little probe into it and everything. So now it's got some substance, and now people are going to talk about it even more.
Okay, but bear in mind this is the BBC,
and the BBC journalist,
and they're supposedly upset. And Gary Lineker was supposedly upset. He's tweeted.
He's very upset about this. Yeah,
I would say to Gary Lineker, where were you a week ago? Because the match in question was Sunderland versus Burnley.
Yep.
Burnley played at the weekend against Spurs, and Spurs beat them. So we are looking at last Saturday. Not Saturday just gone, but the Saturday before.
Right.
And you think, you're in the public domain, it's a BBC programme. That programme you would have hosted because you were the host of Match of the Day.
Yep.
You would have seen that, and yet you never made a comment. And you've waited until now. And I say, that will be my main question, my main crux of the matter is, why have you waited until now to create this problem? Do you know what I think? Now, you know, you probably remember, I'm very cynical.
I do, yep.
Sunderland are not doing very well in the league. There's every chance they're going to get relegated, and Sunderland don't want to sack David Moyes because of, you know, the problem in the league, maybe. But if they created this problem and all of a sudden... Hang on a minute, we can have him on that.
It's quite convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, see,
just a little bit.
You come in with the words, see, you know, that's a university talking there. You've got the words there.
Convenient.
Convenient, yeah. So that's my thought process behind it. And I think by the end of the week, David Moyes would have either been removed by Sunderland, and Sunderland saying, oh, it's nothing at all to do with his league form, but we can't carry on like this. It's not very good. I feel sorry for him a little bit. I do, because I think that, and I would say to Gary Lineker and the BBC, you have misled people, and the reason why you've misled people, on the news today, in the sports news today, they showed you the clip of him saying what he said, but what they didn't show you or play you or make out that they didn't give you any words from the conversation that they're actually talking about.
Yep.
And I think you have to show all of that to put it all into context.
That's the problem, isn't it?
And what they also failed to tell you was the fact that, and you told me this just now, the stuff that he does do. Do you want to do, you
know... Yeah, so David Moyes helped to campaign and set up the Everton ladies side, because he said it's not fair to have a men's side, you should have a ladies, you should all have the equal opportunities to play the sport. And I think his daughter or something is also a women's footballer.
Hmm.
So then to come out and say, oh, you must hate women in football and sports in general, he then turned around and he said, no, if you look at what I've actually done,
yeah,
you can see that's completely untrue. And I was just, you know, I was having a bit of banter with someone and it was just taken out of context.
Now, as a lady, I don't want to tell you what you should think and what you should say, but what's your thoughts on it?
If I were in her position, because obviously I'm a journalist not going into sports, but I would have laughed it off the same way that she did. Because you know when something's meant in spite and you know when it's meant to be hurtful, and it genuinely didn't seem that way.
Yeah.
He was just saying, you know, back off a little bit. Maybe in the wrong way, but that was all he meant by it. He didn't mean, oh, I'm going to punch you. It wasn't a threat and it wasn't a violent act towards her. So it's just a joke.
That was my interpretation.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that it was her interpretation because nothing was done for over a week.
No, she's not kicked off about it in any way.
No, she didn't get upset. Other people would have seen it.
Yep.
And, you know, that's. I'm just thinking, they've now created a story, haven't they?
Yeah.
And you also mentioned something else off air, that it's a week where people are promoting the fact that... Was it bullying or abuse?
The domestic abuse thing?
Yeah, domestic abuse.
Yeah, but they've sort of jumped onto it in a way. I think, yeah, it is a week of campaigning against it in some way. I've seen posters somewhere. So that sort of hypes it up as well. That's
sure.
Added to it all.
Shall we play? I think I've managed to track down the clip. I think I have, anyway. Let's have a little...
Yeah, dear, so just watch yourself. And you might get you still might get a slap even though you're a woman. Just getting a wee bit naughty at the end there, so just watch yourself. And you might get you still might get a slap even though you're a woman. Just getting a wee bit naughty.
Okay, they're just repeating, but they're not. I can't find the audio from prior to that point.
Right.
Because I think, you know, just say, for instance, if I say you use this a lot, if you're in a court of law, what they're actually talking about something, but we haven't heard that text.
Yeah.
We haven't heard what they were actually talking about. So anything from then on in could be taken out of text. Hang on, you're getting a bit naughty. About what? Well, apparently she asked him about how safe his job was.
Yeah. She was getting a bit pushy, which, to be fair, is her job.
Yeah.
But if you were in his position, you'd get a bit annoyed as well. If someone were going, oh, you're going to lose your job. Oh, the team's going to be relegated. Oh, you're in real big trouble here, aren't you? If they kept going on at you. I think he did well to stay calm during the actual interview itself.
Yeah.
Because I would have flipped out.
Bearing in mind, just say, for instance, let's put this into context. She's asking him about his job, his livelihood. He is going to be a little bit upset. If he really, really meant any animosity behind the comment, I think, you know, he not should just be fired, you know, but taken to court as well. Threatening behaviour on the
Absolutely,
television.
Yeah.
But I don't get that, and I don't see that.
That's
and I don't,
not what it is.
They're making a mountain out of a molehill, and I think they've created the issue. And again, my question is, how come it took a week? And you know, I hope that they don't come back and say, well, she was being abused, and, you know, she thought long and hard about it. That's not how it's come across. Anybody that is being abused, you know, I think, yeah, okay, you got every right to go down the right road of putting things right, putting people in their place and taking them to task, making sure that you take them to task as well. But in this instance, it's just a throwaway comment, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Now, he has actually apologised. Now, I think we've got that clip here. Hopefully, fingers crossed. It is YouTube.
It was in the heat of the moment, and I deeply regret the comments I made. It's certainly not the person who I am, and I accept it was a mistake. I spoke to the BBC reporter, who accepted my apology, and hopefully we all move on.
What's been the reaction from the club since then?
The club have known about it for 2 weeks. I told Ellis about it 2 weeks ago. So, sometimes these things happen in the heat of the moment.
You can hear the regret in your voice, though. You obviously are disappointed that it happened. Yeah,
yeah, it happens. But, you know, we're in an industry where, you know, sometimes you're not always answer things exactly the way you want to.
Okay. Okay.
Could I just say, David, I mean, one local women's group is asking for an FA investigation. Do you think that's complete overkill?
Well, I think, as I said, I think if you look at my character, my personality, you think it couldn't be further from the truth.
And managers having to do these interviews sort of so soon after games, is it a case that with sort of passions running high, these things can happen?
Yeah, it can happen, and I think it's something which for all managers, senior managers and young managers, it's difficult when you're put in front of the camera so quickly after the games.
I've got to be honest, so I should put the microphone out. I was just trying to do three things at once there. I've got to be honest, that highlights a problem in itself, doesn't it? Because you know, you've just lost a game, you're in a relegation zone, your job's on the line, your team could be relegated. We're not talking about a few quid here. We're talking about millions and millions of pounds that could be lost in revenue if a team gets relegated. So you can understand is upset, but you can't go around bullying people. You still can't go around. That doesn't give you the right. But I don't see as that's what he was doing in the first place.
No, it's not.
I really don't.
No.
It makes me laugh, though, because the BBC are probably guilty. And just like any other TV thing as well, when you've just lost a race or you've just lost a football match or you just... How do you feel? You know, it's like...
Yeah. Immediately.
It makes me laugh when they ask somebody who's just run a 10,000 metres and they're just getting their breath. So talk us through the race. What, all 28 minutes, are they? I mean, honestly, it's just...
It's cruel.
Why do they do that?
I know.
Why do they do that? Obviously for a reaction.
Yeah.
And I think they've got their reaction, but like he said there, he did mention 2 weeks. They've known about it for two weeks. Well, if they've known about it for 2 weeks... How come it took so long? It's taken a hell of a long time to. So somebody is playing this. Somebody is twisting the story. Somebody is creating the story, and so on.
Yeah.
David Moyes has come under fire for off-camera comments to a female reporter. The Scot apologised for his comments during a press conference on Monday. The incident has highlighted the major flaw which has plagued Moyes' career. He found it difficult to answer tough, uncomfortable questions. I've never, ever seen this, I must admit.
Mm.
I don't think it's a flaw at all in him particular. I think it's a flaw in many managers that they are put under that pressure straight after a game. There's been a few comments that have been made, and let me just go to them so we can read some of these out. Women do not belong in or around football, problem solved. That's from Rex. I would say to Rex, you're a complete dimwit, to be honest. Little sympathy for TV reporters and less for sports journalists who do their best to compete for the title of the most intrusive interrogator. They provoke and prod and keep their fingers crossed that their career will be blessed with someone losing it on TV. It is quite clear that Moyes is under huge pressure. He doesn't need some female trying to emulate Jeremy Paxman in the quest for elevated status. For Mr. Ladyman to suggest that TV reporters have it tough is a simple reflection of the crass stupidity that engulfs much sports reporting. A lot of sexism there. He will always be a Manchester City hero, and he is on the verge of being a Newcastle United one as well. David Moyes is a footballing genius. Says all these comments is sort of... I don't know whether the people are taking it seriously enough. It's a bit like tweets and stuff. It's like Gary Lineker tweeting and thing. And what did the BBC do this morning? Not only did they mislead you, they showed you the footage that happened afterwards. They didn't show you the footage that led up to and what provoked that reaction from him. They then said, oh, as this story unfolds or increases, can you text us, basically? Can you message us? Can you tweet us? We'll keep it going. We keep it warm for you. Basically,
yeah,
just as well as said that.
Yeah.
And you think, you're supposed to report the news, not create it. It was said as a joke, for goodness sake, get a life. Like Ron Atkinson, this comment will follow him for years. I don't think it will. I think it will be... People will see what the comment is. Eventually, the BBC will come clean and they'll say that, you know... Oh, by the way, he does do a lot of work for
his
daughter's a female footballer. He was, you know, sets up football for women and so on, and has a big place in it. He was set up in the interview. He'd finished and someone kept the camera rolling and made sure others saw it. As for what he said, he was laughing and so was the interviewer, and it was some friendly banter. Problem is, in this PC world, no one can say a thing without someone taking offence. I really do, Moyes was naive, and that was it. That was the problem that managers now face. They will not interact with the media freely, and now relationships will be lost as a result. Leave Moyes alone and move on. I agree with that. I think there should be an amount of time after a game or after any sporting event, so you've just lost, how do you feel? Honestly, if you're in my house, we do this thing where we talk all the time, and when ask a question, when somebody asks a question like that, we answer it for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you feel? And it's almost like you don't want them to say it because they'd be in trouble, but you want to say, well, I'll be blimmin' miserable. I'm blimmin' unhappy about it. And I've substituted blimmin'.
Mm. They do well to keep that calm, though. Even if they're snapping in post-match interviews, they do well not to swear and not to scream and to shout, because let's face it, the fans are screaming and shouting. They've got this knack to sort of compose themselves very quickly. Well, some of them have this knack to compose themselves very quickly.
There are situations that you look at and think, you are inviting trouble. You are inviting them to go up to the line and sometimes cross through. I don't know whether you saw, it was an Arsenal game with Arsenal were playing a non-league side, and it was at their ground, and they had a camera in Sutton United's changing room.
Right.
And they went into, you know, Leeds played them and lost, and they went into the changing room, and these blokes are in there at the end of the game, and you think, you know what might happen?
Mm.
You might hear some language, but more importantly, you might see someone's bare bum, or even worse. And you think, they've got that camera in there for a reason. They may have said, the camera's going to be in there, be careful.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Davina McCall, you know, doing Big Brother. I know she doesn't do it anymore, but she always used to say, you are live on Channel 4, please do not swear.
Yep.
In the previous half an hour, though, of that programme, Davina McCall was on, they've showed you stuff that was not live with the language left in.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? It's almost like they're encouraging you.
Yeah.
They're encouraging you to, and they want you to cross that line. They want you to do something. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask you to do it. Shove a camera down. They had this camera in the changing room, and it's done a lot. Only on the BBC, just lately, it would appear.
Yeah.
They go into the changing room after the game. And their get-out clause is, we apologise for any language that you may have heard, or we apologise for anything that you shouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
Okay, so they put themselves in that situation where they put a camera in a man's changing room at the end of the game. What is he going to be doing? He's going to be taking his kit off and getting in the shower and having a wash and so on and so forth. Are they hoping that that's going to happen? Are they hoping for some bad language?
They must be.
What makes me laugh is, during a game, now, if somebody runs on the pitch and they're streaking...
Yes.
They don't show that.
No, you can't show that anymore.
They pan off to the crowd, don't they? They pan off to the crowd and say, we can't show you this. Well, hang on a minute, you can put a camera in a man's changing room.
Exactly.
It's gone a bit silly, hasn't it? It really has. This was bound to happen eventually. A woman who uninvited in a man's world that can't cope with surroundings. For God's sake, stop this PC nonsense. See, I don't agree with that. I agree, stop this PC nonsense. I agree with that, but I don't agree with this man's world. You know, wake up. Women play football now. There are women linesmen. Women linesmen.
Women
linesmen. Do you know what's going to happen? At the end of this, someone's going to say, I called a woman a man. See, that's how easy it is. And I say, hopefully we have women referees soon, because they might be better than the men.
Well, yeah, can't get much worse, can it?
And I've always said, I don't know what you think about this, financially, Britain is in turmoil.
Yep.
We've never, ever had a female chancellor.
No.
I just chuck it out there.
Well, you go for it, even though the last one messed up the budget and was male.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one before that.
I don't think we've ever had a female chancellor. We are now in financial ruin, by all accounts, and we have been for some years.
Mm-hmm.
but we've never ever had a financial advisor, a financial person at the helm that was female.
Maybe that could solve some of the problems.
Isn't it about time we did then?
Let's give it a go.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Most women are the ones holding the purse strings together in most homes. You know, it's all gone a bit silly, isn't it? Mr. Lineker, there's a quote here, not from him, but about him. But there's another one. Before we do that one, my wife and I just turn on the mute button when there are female reporters and presenters on men's football. Feminism these days means that there must be complete equality between the sexes, but suggests that women compete equally with men, and they go very, very quiet. I think there's two arguments here.
Yep.
And I asked you off air, if that had been a male presenter, a male reporter, and he'd threatened him with a slap, do you think we would be now having this conversation?
I don't think we would. Because it is 99% or so are male sports journalists. And the way that certain managers like Jose Mourinho talk to them on a regular basis is not acceptable, but we don't hear about it. I don't know if that's just because it's so frequent from him that we've all become immune to it, or whether it is because it's male journalists.
Well, look, I don't know how switched on you are with football. You don't really need to be, but I just one of my biggest bugbears. I used to love football, and I find myself liking it less and less so.
Yeah,
because you get players that forever cheating, forever conning, forever appealing for things that aren't theirs. There's no gentlemen in football anymore, whereas, you know, there were years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, over the years it's sadly gone, but it all comes down to money. But when it comes down to managers and the way that they are, and, you know, they put a camera in a dressing room, you know that they're after a reaction.
Yeah.
And my question would be, if that was untrue, which I don't believe it is, I believe Sky are probably the culprits in all of this, because they were the ones that started off Sky Sports, football and so on. And their football is second to none.
Yeah.
Their coverage is second to none. I don't say that they are the problem. The money is the problem. The situation that I see is they've actually given managers a little stage. You know, on the side of the touchline is a little box that they can stand in. Well, it used to be a dugout, you know, in Brian Clough's day. It used to be a dugout, and you used to sit in a dugout, and every now and again you'd get out and wave your fist at somebody.
Yep.
And then you'd sit back down again. Nowadays, you're in that little box, that little stage area, and you are playing to the crowd, and you are entertaining.
Yep.
And that is the whole thing. It's not football anymore, it's sports entertainment.
Yeah, it's one way to look at it, yeah.
And when there's so much money involved and there's so much pressure on managers and they shove a camera in your face straight after the game, that never used to happen.
No.
You go back 25 years, you might have to wait half an hour or a couple of hours even to get an interview. And even then, it wouldn't be shoved on the television. Every manager is interviewed after every single game these days. And I would imagine there'd be more emphasis on the ones that are under pressure.
Yeah.
And hopefully getting a reaction.
Absolutely.
Oh, so Mr. Lineker has deemed to give his informed opinion. Strange, but he still hasn't said anything about losing their jobs at Walkers in County Durham. Strange. We've all seen David Moyes' career. He hasn't got a hot head. Lady Man is just sensationalist and an idiot for this article, tugging at the PC police heartstrings. Well, she isn't.
No.
She didn't ask to be involved. She asked the question.
No.
She was doing her job. He answered the question. Someone else now is creating the fuss. What the hell is this fuss about? Have you watched the footage of the so-called threat? They were joking around, for heaven's sake. There was laughter at the comments, which were said in jest. And what about the young lady in question? Has she joined a holy order which requires her to take a vow of silence? She has gone quiet.
She's been very quiet, but I think it may be the best thing to do, because if she speaks out about anything, she's just going to be attacked from both sides.
Or if she speaks out, the BBC might say, well, you've ruined it for us.
That's
now.
That's the thing.
We've got this great story and you've ruined it.
Don't think she'll be going to any more games if she speaks out about it.
Is she... I mean, when you think about it, he's apologised Has she accepted?
Yeah, she accepted the apology. I don't think she requested one in the first place.
If not, why can't she open her gob and put the world to rights, it says here. This is from Alf. As to the comment in today's Daily Mail about Sunderland and Adam Johnson, why drag that dirt up?
Mm.
Absolutely, but they're creating a story.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the only thing that is linked here is, yes, it's Sunderland Football Club.
That's the thing. I was reading one and they said, oh, why aren't they talking about this? And because we have, and that's it. That is the case closed.
And it's got nothing to do with it.
Exactly. It's irrelevant.
If you were in a court of law now, you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, but this is Sunderland. And do you know what happened to them last year?
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be deemed appropriate. The person responsible for... I'm not even going to read it because... To me, it's that the two are not connected. However, it does lead us on nicely to other things that people say. And you mentioned the... we'll come back to that as well in a minute, because there are plenty more things we can chat about. But Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
Just around the corner is Easter.
It is. It's nearly there. But you can't have an Easter egg. You can have a chocolate egg, but you can't have an Easter egg anymore, according to Cadbury's, who do... They do a... I'm trying not to say Easter. They do an egg hunt that is sponsored alongside the National Trust. So they go out and they hide eggs everywhere and all of this, and it's now called the Great British Easter Egg Hunt. Whereas every other year from now, it's just been called the Cadbury's Easter Egg Hunt.
So we're not allowed to use Easter?
No Easter, because it's not multicultural.
Right, okay.
Despite the fact that, obviously, the egg giving is part of the Christian holiday of Easter... It's losing its meaning, I think. And Theresa May's actually spoken out about it as well. She said it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, if she can't do anything about it, who can?
Well, that's the thing. Because I think her father was a minister or something, and she was brought up under the Christian church and everything. She's like, but this is our holiday. I think it's a valid point, because if you were celebrating like the Holi Festival or Hindu festivals or Muslim, you wouldn't change their name just because you want to be a part of it. That's their festival and it belongs to that religion.
Okay, this is quite an interesting one because, I mean, I'm not... Are you religious?
No.
I don't want to offend anybody. Anybody listening to this, I don't want to be, offending anybody because you see how easy it is.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm not massively religious and I don't know too much about, you know, the origins of Easter. But I'm guessing that there wouldn't have been Easter eggs.
I don't think there were chocolate eggs, no.
No, so I can kind of get reasons why people are frustrated and annoyed by it. If you're not if you're one of those true believers in religion, you would know that the Easter egg has got absolutely nothing at all to do with Easter. But we've had that for years and years and years, and nobody's campaigned or anything like that. And these Easter eggs that you're not allowed to call Easter anymore, when are we actually going to eat them?
That's the thing, isn't it?
Over which period of time do we call Easter?
We happen to eat them on Easter Sunday, so it makes sense that we call them Easter eggs.
Well, you know, I can understand that people getting annoyed by it. If you are a true religious person, you go back to it and you say, it's a bit like St. George's Day, that's coming up soon. And you think, well, hang on a minute, St. George, he was of Turkish origin.
Yeah. So should we hang out different flags on that day?
Well, this is the thing. You know, I just want some kind of clarity.
Yeah,
should we take a
it's
call?
Very confusing.
Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, Macaroon.
Don't call me Macaroon.
My name is Capone. Careful, you'll get a slap, you will.
See? Look, that's dreadful.
Geezer. Right. Easter. Easter eggs.
Yeah.
None of this nonsense was done before Cadbury was bought by that ghastly American company. And if you see the advert on the television, right, where they're diving around on rooftops with bikes and stuff like that, I defy you to prove to me that that is filmed even in this country.
Right.
It's American. The Yanks have got their hands on that chocolate. And they're trying to stuff it down their necks. That's the bottom line. And they'll try any means, fair or foul, to make us eat the chocolate. And it's not even the right size or taste of chocolate anymore. It's all smaller by about 20%, and it tastes like dog's doodah, you know?
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, the quicker we get wise to the fact that we are nothing to do with America, we don't belong to America, they've bought our blinking crown jewels, but they don't own us, and I won't buy their chocolate.
So when you started this rant, it was going back, you were talking about since the American company bought our company, obviously, the British company.
What? Cadbury.
So how long ago was, have I missed something?
Kraft, a massive big... A hostile takeover of Cadbury a few years ago.
I remember that.
They're under a big old banner now of something else, some other American concern. But they're a very, very predatory company. They try to buy up all this stuff all round. It's little. You look at a bar of Cadbury's these days, you'll find that it's no longer like a sort of like a square shape. It's got like a wavy shape to it because it gives you less chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I did see that somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a horrible, sneaky, cunning ploy to try and sell you the same thing for less, and because there's a bit of a backlash, they're now bending our ears with it on our television. I honestly, in your lifetime, put your hand on your heart and remember a concerted advertising campaign on the telly for the Easter Bunny?
A question has just come in. Why do we have an Easter Bunny? Where's
that come
from?
Well, someone's got to drop off the eggs.
Okay, bunny? No, correct me if I'm wrong here. Bunnies don't lay eggs.
It's a very special bunny.
Chickens
or hens
do. Yeah.
Yeah? So you could be Easter hen. Or better still, Easter cock.
Right, okay, how do you follow that?
but the point about it all is, right, if you look at it, when was the last time you saw a house in this country with a roof like that bloke cycling along? And when was the last time you saw anybody ever cycle along the roof of a house apart from in the film E.T.? It's American. You sit and have a look at that, you look at the thing, you look at the gardens, look at the trees, look at the houses... And I bet you they've even dubbed the voices as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And it's all done to con us out of our hard-earned for something which we previously owned and no longer own.
But, I mean, that happened, what, 4 or 5 years ago, didn't it?
It's a few years back. But they're pushing the boundaries all the time.
We were still having our Easter eggs, weren't we, before then?
Yeah, but we weren't having this nonsense on the television about... Let's hunt the Easter Bunny, and this is a new thing that's coming. Obviously, what's occurring is people aren't buying the chocolate. I mean, you know, when you look at the Cadbury's tin of whatever it is that comes out at Christmas, it's about half the size now that it used to be. You know, people are getting wise to the fact that they're being conned and they're buying less. And not only that, let's be fair about it. It's not great for your kids or your adults to be eating that much chocolate anyway. So it's probably on the decline, the amount of chocolate that we buy.
Yeah, I used to get one of those cream eggs in my mouth, okay, and only just be able to eat it, because it used to be a big thing.
Yeah,
now I
can
get two in. They've shrunk so much.
You've tested it.
Or I've got a big mouth.
if you took it up to Glasgow and chucked it in the fryer, you'd probably lose it in the fat, wouldn't you, Neil?
Hey, look, do you know why there's an Easter Bunny?
Go on, surprise me. Because bunnies get birth in Easter.
No.
Go on, then.
Since ancient times, rabbits have been associated with spring. It is believed that Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, Istra, had a hare as her companion. The hare symbolises fertility and rebirth. Later, Christians changed the symbol of the hare to the Easter Bunny.
Well, a hare isn't a rabbit, is it?
No.
No, otherwise it'd be a rabbit, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Why is it still giving out eggs?
Maybe there's something got lost in translation there, because as far as I'm concerned, the only thing that happens in spring is you get spring lamb.
Yeah.
But then again, if you go outside my window at the moment, you'll see loads of robins mating, so we could have a spring robin. Doesn't sound the same, does it? You know?
It doesn't. Somebody's manipulated this.
They've manipulated it.
Purposes.
And what they've sneakily done is they've tried to slide the Easter out of the equation so that you can buy chocolate for longer. You can buy the eggs for longer than just for Easter. So you can get them out earlier and sell them afterwards. If you lose the Easter out of it and call it the great bunny egg gold knows what hunting thing, it doesn't have to be at Easter, does it?
No, that's true.
I'm a cynical person, as you probably know, but when you listen to what I'm saying that, you suddenly go, do you know what? That's blinking right, that is. They lose the Easter, then they can sell them any time they like, can't they? Hey?
Yeah, do you know what? On that note, there is a bloke that walks around Newport, and the stand-in joke is he looks like Father Christmas because he's got a big bushy beard. And whenever we see him, we always say to him, only another few months, only another 10 months, he'll be back to work. And it's the same with this Easter bunny as well, isn't it? So we only have bunnies. A bunny is not just Easter.
I don't even know how it suddenly... when I was a kid, right, Easter was a religious festival. You know, it's got religious connotations. It's nothing to do with bunnies and blinking chocolate. You nearly always had some poor bloke dragging a lump of wood up the street, followed by a load of people singing when I was a kid. And I think they still do that, don't they?
You know? Maybe round your way, yeah.
You know, I think I have seen it in Newport, actually, the bloke dragging the cross around. But, you know, if you think about it, right, you can't sell Easter eggs to Muslims, can you? You can't really sell it to Jews either, or Hindus. So what do? If you lose the term Easter out of it, their kids can buy the eggs, can't they?
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm getting at, don't you? It's being taken away from what it really is, which was a Christian celebration, or commiseration, however you want to look at it. But it was a Christian event, festival, whatever you want to call it. Like I say, the thing about the bloke dragging a bit of wood up the street, I guarantee you they'd probably still do that on the island here. You'd probably find some worthy carrying it over as tenors and down, for all I know, you know. But that's what people do because that's what they believe in. But by Cadbury, Kraft, God knows what, Donald Trump, wherever it is owns it now, by them trying to sneak the term Easter out of it, they're trying to take it away from it being a Christian festival so they can sell more chocolate.
Yeah, that's true. But, when you look at the egg thing, kind of makes sense now. I don't see why it's a chocolate egg. I mean, you know, but obviously to make money.
Ain't going to be a hard-boiled egg, is it?
Well, it could be, couldn't it? Because if
no one's going to buy that.
If they really meant what it was, and that egg is a symbolism of new life, resurrection, call it what you will, then surely you get this egg and it's empty inside.
Well, let me tell you something else, right? I'm an old git now. I'm officially an old git, because you can do that after you're 60, right? When I was at school, at Easter, we was given hard-boiled eggs and we painted faces on them to roll them around the playground.
Right.
Yeah, that was Easter eggs. It wasn't chocolate.
No.
And you certainly wouldn't have eaten it afterwards. But we painted faces on the eggs and rolled them around the playground because that was what we did for Easter.
I'm going to do that.
You know, and we do... I mean, people go and put little ducklings in the river and let them swim down, you know, like little things, don't they? Chuck them in the river and let them float under the bridge and stuff like that. You know, it's nice, but it's being cynically manipulated by our good old friends from across the pond under the name of Easter chocolate.
See, I can't disagree with that.
No, that's spot on.
I am going. My wife asked me if I was going to get her an Easter egg this year, and the answer is no. I'm going to fry you an egg on Easter Monday or Easter Sunday.
You'd be better off taking her down to McDonald's. That's not American, is it?
On that note,
there you go.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks for being here, Arthur.
You take care now.
And you. Cheers.
Bye.
Now. Bye. Okay, shall we take a break and then we'll come back and we'll do some more. We'll talk more on eggs and rabbits and what we actually think and what other people think on this as well.
Of course.
We shall be back.
This is Vectis Radio.
Putting the community back into local radio.
Sky Academy helps young people unlock their potential through TV, creativity and sport.
Turning my dream into a reality.
Kickstarting my career.
And helping me build confidence.
Through fantastic mentors and great opportunities.
We're discovering possibilities we never knew existed.
We believe in potential. Search Sky Academy to see how it can help a young person you know.
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
Livewire Electric Shop, for all your domestic appliance needs. Appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoilt countryside and woodland. At Haven Street, our new train story discovery centre is an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. A range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages and tell the fascinating story of railways on the island. So, come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
If you're looking for something unusual or very unique, visit the silver screen at the new Rembrandt Gallery in Scarrett's Lane, Newport. We have fully authenticated autographs from the world of film, music and more, some of which are very rare, including Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, Humphrey Bogart and even a Buzz Aldrin. All of the pieces are professionally framed and beautifully presented, and they come with a certificate of authentication endorsed by Aftel. We also have original cinema posters, vintage prints and lots of other interesting items, all available. Come and visit us in person at the new Rembrandt Gallery, 15 Scarrett's Lane, Newport, or call 01983 529 285 or visit the new Rembrandt Gallery on Facebook.
Do you need help with personal or career development, anxiety, stress, limiting beliefs? Do you want to understand about your current situation, about what really matters in your life, the choices you want to make and who you really are? Working with me, Maggie Curry, and learning to live life from the inside out will bring you more freedom, more fun, and much less stress. Get in touch with me today. Maggie Curry, professional transformational coach and consultant, 01983 754 666 or email hello@maggiecurry.co.uk. If you do nothing but hope your life will change, it won't. Be certain your life will change when you work with me.
Get in touch.
It's /Vectis Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
And welcome back to part two. Now, we are confused a little bit.
Completely.
We were just having a conversation off air. Now, you know, I wouldn't say I was the brightest spark in the box, but I'm also not the thickest either. But I'm, you know, obviously the egg thing. I said, how sad is it that I'm 51 and I've only just learnt that the symbol of the eggs is symbolism of new life. Okay, so you get an egg, a chocolate egg that's empty. Well, where's the symbol for life? You're still, and I am too, questioning, well, where does the rabbit come in to it?
No connection between the rabbit and the eggs. Like, why is the rabbit dropping off the eggs or hiding the eggs? How did it get the eggs? Got a lot of questions for this rabbit.
Yes. So all I can say is that what I've got here is since ancient times, rabbits have been associated with spring. It is believed that the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, Eostre, had a hare as a companion. Now, the hare symbolises the fertility and rebirth. Later, the Christians changed the symbol of the hare to the Easter bunny. Now, why did they change it?
And bunnies are just cuter, aren't they?
And how dare they change it? That's almost like, if you've changed that little bit of history, what else have you changed?
You don't know what they've been lying to you about.
Don't get me started on hot cross buns either, because I'm just thinking how much of a minefield would that be?
I know.
I think we've created our own problems by not being truthful.
Yeah, it's just confusing people now.
Well, that's the way it kind of comes across now. We are going to have. I'm pretty sure is it April the 23rd? It's St George's Day.
That's, yep.
And every year I have this issue. Yeah, I'm proud to be, English.
Yep.
Proud to be British. Proud to be a human being. But every year I think to myself, right, okay, so it's St George, the St George Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And St George was of Turkish origin. I don't have a problem that he's Turkish at all.
No.
Don't have a problem at all. But every year I kind of look at that and question it.
It confuses you a little bit.
And the bunnies now, the Easter bunnies, I'm even more confused. Because it wasn't originally a bunny, it was a hare. Now, yeah, they do look similar.
They do, yeah.
But they aren't the same. So my question would be, if you can change all of that, what else have you changed?
We'll never know.
We will never know, but that's the reason why. And here we are, and this, we've come full circle. I like this when this happens.
It's nice, isn't it?
We have a plan. Nothing's written down. We start at position A and we get all the way around to A. And the reason why I say we come full circle is because we started off this conversation, we're talking about David Moyes.
Yep.
Okay. David Moyes, the story, you know the story. He supposedly said in jest that he would give some young reporter a slap. Not him personally, he just said you might get a slap.
Yep.
He didn't say he was going to
do it.
But what they didn't tell you was David Moyes' background with and his involvement with female football.
Yep.
What it also didn't show you was how and why it was said, because it didn't tell you what the conversation was about before, what he said to her and what she said to him. They just took it from that point onwards. So they've misled you.
Yep.
Just like yesterday with the golf, and they were talking about the young lady. I think we've done this off air. We did say about the young lady golfer that was playing in the tournament over the weekend. She was way out in front, and then they said that someone had spotted, a television viewer had spotted something that she did whilst playing golf in this tournament. She was deducted four shots added to her card, but they didn't actually tell you what it was. So I was sat there thinking, what has she done then? What has she done? Has she gone over a wee somewhere? Has she gone beyond a tree? Has she done something? And they didn't actually tell you. I had to go searching for it on the internet to find that she had picked up, because they pick up balls to clean and wipe.
Yeah.
She had picked up her ball, cleaned and wiped it, and replaced it with a marked ball. Now, I don't know that what that actually means. All I can picture is her picking up a ball, cleaning it, and putting it back, which is what they do, but she put it back with a marked ball.
Right.
I've now been misled because I'm thinking of all sorts of things. What is she doing? What has she done, this woman? And I say, if we go right back to olden times with the bunny, with the hare, we've got people that are reporting the story, and hundreds, thousands of years later, it's not quite right. And here we are, left with Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, and what does it symbolise? Yes, it symbolises new life and so on. I get that. But where does the chocolate come in? And most chocolate eggs are empty these days because they have the packaging inside. So that doesn't symbolise a new life.
Nope.
It symbolises an empty egg, which doesn't symbolise life at all, does it?
It doesn't, no.
So when you've got reporters that... Because that's what I picture... This is what I picture BBC reporters at the parting of the sea all those years ago. And they didn't report it correctly, and here we are, we're living off of that, and that's how it is.
That's how it all started.
And that's why you should never lie. You should always tell the truth. Broadcasters should tell the truth.
I'll go with that, yeah. You don't know what will happen and what will become of a story if you don't.
Well, otherwise, it just...
It snowballs, and look at where you are now, only just discovering the meaning of Easter.
How sad is that? I feel gutted. That
I know.
You know. But even so, you can't blame me.
No, you've been lied to all this time.
Well, even that wasn't the truth. The Easter bunny. It was a hare.
It was a hare.
Not an Easter bunny. I mean, anyway, look, I think we should leave it there. I'm getting
enough.
A headache. We didn't have a chance to chat about the Marvel story as well. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah, that's a different thing, yeah.
Because that story is going to blow your mind as well.
It's huge.
Okay, thank you for being there, Bert.
That's all right.
And stand by, because Chris Sullivan is on the way, and I'm sure he's got Easter eggs with him.
Oh, probably.
And
the Easter, or just chocolate eggs.
Easter bunny, is, or the Easter hare, as it should be.
Some chicks as well.
He wants some hair. Yes, the Easter hare is next. Guess where the hare is. He's next, and we should be back tomorrow morning. We'll speak then. Thanks, Bert.
This is Vectis Radio.